Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, September 20th, 2007, Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now, on to our program. Good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you can send your email to us at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numerical two. Here he discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And also listen to his commentary on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/my2cents, especially today in this tumultuous times that we are in, and it always appears to be tumultuous times that we are in, to listen to Andy Sutton. He gives some very, very solid advice. He is the antithesis of what you hear from the talking heads on television, and he talks about what is really happening and what you really should know. It's an excellent, excellent website, excellent program. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, what I'd like to do to start off is read from the Information Clearinghouse newsletter. I also encourage you to subscribe and, as importantly, to give a donation, as small as it may be, to the Information Clearinghouse. They compile news in little tidbits and provide you with a summary of about everything that's going on, from the war in Iraq to governments to our economy to finance. And it's very, very well done. It's a tremendous effort on their part. I highly recommend that you send them some donation and that you use their service. I'm going to read a few things from the Information Clearinghouse, if you don't mind, and because this has to do with libertarian thinking. Now, this is a libertarian radio station. And when I say libertarian, I mean libertarian with a small L. Although I do vote libertarian, because that's what I believe in. That's the precepts from which I take all of my cues. But libertarian principles mean that we are thinking rationally, we are thinking critically, and we just don't abide by what is being fed to us. So it's important for us to learn to recognize that being a free thinker is an oddity in today's world, and it is difficult to do, because you must abandon so much of what you believe. And when I say believe, I'm not talking specifically about religion. I'm talking about a belief system. You know, the Democrats are better than the Republicans. The Republicans are better than the Democrats. I believe one of those things, you know. And we need to challenge all of those thoughts that we have in our minds, because they typically make absolutely no sense whatsoever, right? Because there's no foundation for it. And this is why political rhetoric on TV, people like Jim Carver and those guys go on infinitum, mouthing off about one side or the other, or one issue or the other, and they come to absolutely no conclusion because it's just loose, stupid talk. And, you know, I heard Mike Gravel on television, and I didn't believe he said this, but he was absolutely correct. I think this is the death knell for him politically. But he said people are getting lazy and stupid. And you know something? I agree with him. Now, I may lose a lot of my listeners for saying that, but he's correct. Look around. Look around at people. People, we are overweight as a nation. We are overweight as a nation because we are too damn lazy to do anything about it. I mean, we are a nation of obesity. And yet, at the same time, when you want to discuss something, what you always hear, I mean, 90% of the time is, oh, I'll discuss anything but politics and religion, you know, something stupid like that. And if you take out politics and religion out of the context of every conversation, you don't have anything left. Because when you say politics, you are talking about everything. If you are talking about the issues, things that face us, our problems, our economy, the war in Iraq, job, whatever it is. I mean, it includes politics because politics, our politicians are addressing those issues. So when we say politics, we embrace absolutely every subject. And the only thing we have left over is, you know, what's on sale at Walmart. And it's a very kind, discreet conversation. And I'm getting to really dislike that. You know, when I'm with a group of people, I will intentionally open up a subject, not controversial subject, just generally, just to, other than just, you know, the chatter type of noise, you know, and I test the waters to see what happens. It is amazing how many times people actually just clamp up. They go, oh, that's inappropriate. I mean, things that we used to discuss freely at one time. I live in Oklahoma now, and Oklahoma is terrible that way. My wife always says that, you know, we have lost the ability to converse. Now, New York was a little different. That's where I'm from. I mean, you can get people to talk on a street corner and argue. Well, most of them are immigrants or from immigrant families, and they're accustomed to that. You can go up to a stranger and say, hey, I wanted your opinion on something. What do you think of this, this, and that? And he'll talk for 2 hours, and he'll be emotional about it. I mean, that's a lot more interesting than speaking to somebody saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, but that's, you know, I don't think that's discretion to talk about that. That's my husband handles that or something like that, you know, or conversely, my wife handles that. But we have lost this ability to think critically. And if the Libertarian Party, or I shouldn't say Libertarian Party, but any politician has a libertarian thinking, a libertarian bent like a Ron Paul, has a problem primarily with the older folks. If you notice when they ask for a instant message type thing, what do you call it? Text message as to who won the debate. The last time they did that, Ron Paul received 33% of the vote. There were 8 people on that stage, and to get 33 is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. But that's because the people who are watching, who text message, are usually younger people. Look at the demographics. You know, the old fogies are not text messaging. You know, they may use their cell phone if they have to, but they're not going to text message. So what you have is you have the demographics. You have people who are younger thinking, saying, hey, something stinks. You have the people who are the older folks who are dead, you know, like you can't teach a new old horse new tricks type thing. You know, you have old people who are not going to change their mind. Some think that George Bush is God, you know, next to God. And then some people hate him, and that's it. But they won't look at any alternatives. They won't say why. They won't look at the issues at all. They won't see fundamentally where we went wrong. They just know they're diehard Democrats or diehard Republicans, and they're going to die that way. We have a real problem in this country. If Ron Paul was facing a group of critical thinkers, he'd have 99% of the vote. And that's appalling. That no one else can say that. That he's the only one running on that platform. And maybe Mike Gravel. I don't know too much about Mike Gravel, but a few things I heard from him I really liked. When he said Americans are really lazy and stupid, he's absolutely right. Look at the programs on TV that do well. American Idol and all these other reality programs. And people watch them day in and day out every night, and they don't have time to do anything. They have no time to read. They have no time to just converse. They have no time to go back to school. They have no time to better themselves, but they have plenty of time to watch that stupid, dumb TV. And they'll spend most of their lives watching that stupid, dumb TV, you know, and then they complain about their lot in life. Well, Mike, you're right. In fact, I want to call Mike. I'm going to see if I can get Mike Gravel on this program. I'm going to try to get Mike Gravel to call in this program. I like that guy. I want to vote for this. This is what I want to vote for. I want to vote for a Ron Paul for president and a Mike Gravel for vice president. I think that would be an absolutely wonderful ticket. I can see the two of them arguing on TV, you know, while on TV during a press conference, really arguing things. But I mean, openly. Like a family would argue, and I think that would be healthy. That would never happen, but if it did happen, this country would finally turn around. I want to read to you from the Information Clearinghouse newsletter of September 18th. And I'm sorry that I read stuff, but I mean, I'm always reading stuff in my radio program. I don't have a staff to do this for me, so I have to read all this stuff. And I'll be very honest with you, it's not happy stuff. It's so much nicer to read a nice novel or something like this. The stuff I read is mostly depressing because none of it's good news. Very little of it's good news. But here we go anyway. Free thinkers are those who are willing to use their minds without prejudice and without fearing to understand things that clash with their customs, privileges, or beliefs. This state of mind is not common, but it is essential for right thinking, where it is absent. Discussion is apt to become worse than useless. Ah, Tolstoy said that. Leo Tolstoy, 1828 to 1910, Russian writer. But, you know, it's interesting. And he writes on life and essays on religion. And he's absolutely correct. I won't discuss anything if it has to do with politics and religion. You know, stupid, 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 and lazy. And pick up people clinging on to belief systems and not being a critical thinker. There are very few critical thinkers in this society. Very, very, very few. Now, here's another one. Free inquiry requires that we tolerate diversity of opinion and that we respect the right of individuals to express their beliefs, however unpopular they may be, without social or legal prohibition or fear of success. That's Paul Kurtz. He's from the Secular Humanist, a Secular Humanist Declaration. And he said that in 1989. Simon Heffer from the Daily Mail said, This is, in theory, still a free country, but our politically correct, censorious times are such that many of us tremble to give vent to perfectly acceptable views for fear of condemnation. Yeah, how about if you go to a rally and you wear a dissenting T-shirt? You get arrested these days. Freedom of speech is thereby imperiled. Big questions go unabated, and great lies become accepted. And that is the big one. The great lies become accepted, ladies and gentlemen. And that's exactly what's happening. Look around you. Please wake up. Unequivocally as great truths. Great lies become accepted unequivocally as great truths. Why am I having difficulty with that word early in the morning? But I am. We're going to get on the banking system because we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. I'm going to give you some ideas on that. All right. And I have a couple of other quick quotes here. I'm sorry for the quote, but these are all excellent. What distinguishes the liberal or the libertarian spirit from its alternative is the conviction that free individuals who respect one another's sovereignty will generate a benevolent, prosperous social order without direction from a central bureaucratic authority, and that's what I'm going to talk about in a minute, okay? Let's hold on to that. All right, I'm going to put everything else aside. I've said my piece there. We're going to talk about the banking system. Folks, I guess everyone here is fully aware that Mr. Bernanke has reduced the discount window and the discount rate to one half, 50 basis points, and the market went crazy. And let me be honest with you, I made out very handsomely when he said that. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad in that regard, you know, but it makes no sense. I think it was Jim, I want to say Jim Bonner. Maybe that's, I have the wrong name, but he was the one that wrote the book Empire of Debt. He said, there's a problem with this. He says, we should not be lowering the discount rate. We should be increasing it. The lowering the discount rate is what got us there in the first place. He was on TV and he said that. I think Bill Bonner, his name is, but I'm not sure if that was him. But I want to give credit where credit's due, obviously, and I'm blowing it this morning. The point being is that you need to think about how and why lowering the discount rate by 50 basis points solves our problem. You know, it's like someone saying, well, you're overweight, you've been overweight for 33 years, and you eat like a slob. I have a pill here. You take this once a day, and you'll look like this picture that I'm showing you. And you should see a person, you know, with all washboard abs and, you know, in just phenomenal shape. And people buy into that. I mean, there's a billion-dollar industry built around crap like that. And yet, this is exactly what we did. What they did is that they allowed the market to believe that everything was going to be okay, like in 1929. Everything is fine. Drink up and be happy. But yet, no one talks about the consequences of doing that. There are consequences for lowering our discount rate. And it has to do not so much with the money internally, but it has to do with our money externally. Now, I'm not going to get into that because I'm going to leave that stuff to websites like the Andy Sutton at my2centsonline.com where he can get into it, and he's an expert in that field. I know there will be consequences. Now, folks, let me tell you this again. I mean, when he did that, stocks went up, and I made out handsomely. So I'm not angry. I'm just saying, let's be honest, that was not the right thing to do. Just because I made out on the deal doesn't mean that that was the right thing to do. It's still the wrong thing to do. I'd rather I take a hit on my stock portfolio, but know that the American economy and everyone else who's in it, all of society, is not going to suffer because of it. And we will suffer because of that. Right? Now, what's the alternative? On my blog, I said, we are now experiencing a worldwide monetary crisis with possible dire consequences. We know that what caused this situation. Yeah, cheap, easy, loose money. And what do we have now? We have cheaper, easy, loose money. That's my point. But how could this have happened? Isn't the Federal Reserve's responsibility to prevent this sort of thing from happening? You know, and please, 646-652-4620. I know it's early in the morning, but please do call in. Please do call in, 646-652-4620. This is Thursday morning, September 20th. It's about 6:48. So if you're listening, please do call in. I'd like to hear your opinion and get your comments. The only way to resolve this issue with the Federal Reserve is, number one, do away with the Federal Reserve. You see, the United States Constitution does not allow for the formation of an organization such as a Federal Reserve to control our currency. Our Constitution allows one thing. It gives the federal government and its treasury the permission. Understand, I say permission to coin money. Money back in those days meant only one thing, silver and gold. In other words, the government was permitted to coin U.S. money in silver and in gold, something of value. Never, ever was it permitted to form something like a cabal, such as the Federal Reserve, to print worthless Federal Reserve notes. Never. It is absolutely unconstitutional. And when Ron Paul brings that up, people call him a nutcake. But he's ab- absolutely correct. Nowhere are we allowed to do that in our Constitution. Now, so first of all, we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve. But how do we do that? Well, what really is needed to start this whole ball rolling is that we need to understand, we need to understand the concept that the nation, the government, is not the one that needs to be the one printing the money. I mean, this concept is something, is a Western world concept, but it has no particular validity. Now, if in fact the government only coined money in silver and gold and copper, whatever it may be, something of value, zinc, by the way, like our nickels are copper and nickel, which are two, relatively speaking, expensive metals on a relative scale. Now, if they did that and they issued them, then you would be receiving something of value. You know what the market value of a penny is when if it's made out of 90% copper or 95% copper as it used to be. You know what a dime is worth because it used to be 90% silver. You know what a nickel is worth because right now it is still 75% copper and 25% nickel. It is a, it has some value. Save your nickels, folks. But there is something in exchange for value. That's where it came from. Since the government was allowed to mint coins, then as a result, they extrapolated that to say, well, we're the only ones that are allowed to print money. No, 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 no. Never was it allowed to print money. In fact, what's wrong with being on a total barter exchange system? What if everybody in the United States decided to barter? What if a manufacturer says, all right, I'll manufacture this for me if you'll provide this, this, and this, and whatever. I mean, people can barter and just bypass the system, and it's not illegal. The government doesn't like it because you got to keep special books, and they got to figure out how to tax that. That's what they don't like about it. The government loses its tax revenue, or may lose its tax revenue. But we can bypass that system, couldn't we? You see, we need a free banking system. And a free banking system frees it not so much that it's free, like free checking, but it frees them from the claws of the federal government. And what it does, it allows banks to compete for your business by issuing sound money. And you say, oh, the banks will print phony money and it'll run. Well, you have to understand that the banks have to interchange it with one another, such like checking accounts. They have to interchange with one another. Now, what if one bank was worthless? The other bank would know it. I mean, the banking system knows who's you know, how they're worth. They work out a system. The free market system will work out a system whereby, within itself, without the federal government, they have their own regulatory agency to find out whether or not banks are liquid or not, whether or not they say if they have gold reserves, silver reserves, or some reserves, anything at all, you know, that can back up their paper, they know what it is. And before they exchange any monies, you know, through the clearinghouse with another bank, they want to know whether or not that money is worth anything. So Bank B will say, hey, you're not going to be on the clearinghouse with me, suckface, you know, unless you can prove to me, you know, and my order is that you are as solid, if not more solid than me, and vice versa. You see, you have a system of controls within the system, not because the consumer is going to get hurt, but the banks are going to get hurt. Because if one bank is worthless and the other bank is backing everything by some sort of commodity or whatever it is, however they do it, you know, they somehow are able to guarantee their money, you know, and one bank goes down, the other bank is one that's going to be holding the bag. Well, let me tell you something. Banks are not in business to lose money. You know that and I know that. You know, you have a self-regulating system when you free the banking from the federal government. And then you have what they call, you know, the invisible hand of free enterprise, you know, of capitalism in there that makes people create checks and balances to ensure that it does work. Now, people say, well, there have been bank runs before. Well, it's never been run properly. The government has always been involved. Get the government out altogether. Now, will there will be some problems? Absolutely, there will be some problems involved. And yes, some banks will skunk other banks and some people will get hurt. However, right now, everyone is getting hurt. You know, it's very typical of a socialistic society that we have today, where it's not good for one person to get hurt, but if the government takes over and hurts everybody a little bit, it's then okay. So we have maybe a pound of hurt in one case, but it's okay to take 5,000 tons of hurt and distribute it among everybody, then it's okay. So we take a situation, make it worse by several measures, distribute it to everyone in society, we say, well, now at least we're all equally hurt. And that's exactly what's happening to our banking system. Watch for inflation, folks. Watch for the value of your dollar. Do you know the Canadian dollar now is about on par with the U.S. dollar? The Canadian dollar used to be only a fraction, between 60 and 70% of the American dollar. Now it is one penny away. And now Red China has admitted that they're having a sustained inflation problem, and they're going to have to raise prices. You know what that means? That means prices are going to go up. Now, with all of this inflation and all this easy money, no one wants U.S. dollars. The American worker has to work harder for the same amount of money, but everything's going to cost more. This is troubled times, folks. And people don't want U.S. bonds anymore, or U.S. what they call CDOs anymore. They don't want that stuff because they don't know what's in it. Mortgages and all that other crap. That's not backed by anything, by people who are abandoning their houses. Folks, hunker down. This is not going to be easy. 50 basis points did not solve all our problems. None whatsoever. By the way, do we have a caller here? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Caller?
Hello, can you?
Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on the line. Yes, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, I am Miguel. I am calling from Madrid, Spain.
Thank you very much, Miguel.
I really have to agree with you that easy money is just like walking into a casino in Vegas, in Atlantic City, wherever. You can walk in and come back with a treasure, or you can lose everything. And then what's going to happen? What's going to fit in your home? And in Europe, we have more or less the same problems because there is a lot of gambling going on in the economy, because actually nobody is relying on a real economy. People are investing either on what they think is serious enterprises, what they believe is a solid value like real estate, and nobody in Spain, for example, nobody rents a. Everybody has in property, and they get a mortgage for like 30 years or something. And, you know, it's crazy because homes are getting more and more expensive, and nobody else does anything to change that. And the government, instead of taking things in matter and intervening and all that, well, actually, it does nothing. And we have elections just in next year, in 2008, and nobody sees a clear future for this, because neither what we could call the Spanish Republicans and the Spanish Democrats, that is the socialists and the right-wing or center-right-wing, nobody is taking this in charge seriously. And the only man that could do something about it, and that is Rodrigo Rato, the former president of the World Bank, I believe.
Yes. Miguel, excuse me. I am running out of time. My program ends in less than 1 minute. Miguel, will you do me a favor? Send me your mailing address and your T-shirt size to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I will be pleased to send you a free Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt.
Hello? That will be great.
I want to thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry we have to close down. We got about 15 more seconds, okay? And I'll be broadcasting again on Sunday evening, Central Time, United States, about 8 o'clock. Okay? Maybe I'll speak to you then. Thank you so much for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you.
Thank you. Folks, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned. And by the way, Sunday evening, we'll continue this conversation. And I think we'll have a lot to talk about, because I think today and tomorrow is going to be tumultuous in the market. And we're going to get some feedback on that 550 basis points drop by Mr. Bernanke. Okay? Well, stay well again and stay tuned. Thank you for listening to Liberty Talk Radio. And thank you, Miguel, from Madrid, Spain, for calling in. Good morning.